and our smiles will beam and glow when those bad old foes we fought for years finally fall from one last blow. So don't give up on hope too soon, girl, before this day arrives. Just heave a sigh and try to dry all these teardrops from your eyes. Cause there's still time for me and you. There's still love to see us through. There's still miles of road we've yet to travel, and so much we still can do. So won't you choose, girl, to lose these blues, and remember this, my friend, that it's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over till our adversary's down for the count. It's not over till the last bell rings. It's not over till the crowd stands up to scream and shout, until the big old friendly fat lady sings. And as far as I know, we got a ways yet to go, so we might as well hang tough till the end. Cause it's not over, girl, until we win. No, it's not over, girl, until we win.
Whenever I stop and think about the many times we faced impossible odds, when the hopelessness and despair felt so intense that we didn't think we could hold out any longer. Yet time and again we were given the grace to overcome those odds and the courage to keep fighting the fight. What it proves to me is we've got angels watching over us, girl. So if we can just keep our hope alive for a little bit longer and keep on believing in the promise that the truth will one day set us free, then there shall be a glorious future awaiting us. For I've read the end of the story, and it's not over until we win.
Yeah, now there's still time and you. Oh, there's still love to see us through. Yeah, there's still miles of road we've yet to travel, and so much we still can do. So won't you choose now to lose these blues, and remember this, my friend, that it's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over till our adversary's down for the count. It's not over till the last bell rings. It's not over till the crowd stands up to scream and shout, until the big old smiling fat lady sings. And as far as I know, we got a ways yet to go, so we might as well hang tough till the end. Cause it's not over, till we win. No, it's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over, girl, until we win. Yeah, it's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over, child, until we win. It's not over.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this live radio broadcast. Today is the 23rd day of March, year 2016, and we've entitled tonight's program, The Beast. Before we begin, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. to my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Our website, in case you want to read any of the information we have or possibly donate, is byyahwehsdesign.com. For comments or constructive criticism, the email address is bydpastordan@yahoo.com. We do want to thank our listeners for tuning in and sharing their time with us. And for the folks who support us from time to time, we thank you as well. We're going to keep repeating this quote for some time now, since it's so apropos. Thomas Jefferson said, "When injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty." Are you paying attention, men? Psalm 46, verse 10. There's a lot of adversaries out there, folks. There's a lot of misinformation. Remember this Psalm 46, verse 10. "Be still and know that I am Elohim God. I will be exalted amongst the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Now, before we get into the topic of the beast, I've got a few quotes I want to read here. They sort of go with last program's topic and tonight's as well. George Mason said this: "To disarm the people is the best and most effective way to enslave them." How many times have we said on this radio program, never, ever surrender your firearms. Never, ever surrender your means to protect your life, liberty, and property. Those rights come from the Father, not from government, and most certainly not from a piece of paper. Thomas Jefferson had this to say: "The federal judiciary, an irresponsible body, working like gravity by night and by day, gaining a little today and a little tomorrow, and advancing its motionless steps like a thief over the field of jurisdiction until all shall be usurped from the states and the government of all be controlled into one." You might say Thomas Jefferson was a prophet. I don't have a whole lot of respect for Abraham Lincoln, to be honest. I really don't. Many of the things he did were unconstitutional and unconscionable. However, every now and then, even people of, shall we say, lack of character, say something that's very apropos. And Abraham Lincoln said this: "To sin by silence when they should protest makes cowards of men." And he ought to know, because during his day there were many cowards who stood by while Lincoln and his administration arrested many people who opposed the war of Northern aggression against the Southern states. This next quote is of Norman Thomas, who was the Socialist Party presidential candidate, Civil Liberties Union, Houghton Mifflin, 1976 is the source. "The American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name of liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program, until one day America will be a socialist nation without knowing how it happened." And again, I don't have much respect for most of the presidents, especially the modern era ones of the 20th and 21st century. And Theodore Roosevelt, I would list among them, but again, occasionally even the bad guys say something that's rather apropos. Anyway, Theodore Roosevelt said this: "We can afford to differ on the currency, the tariff and foreign policy. But we cannot afford to differ on the question of honesty if we expect our republic permanently to endure. Honesty is not so much a credit as an absolute prerequisite to efficient service to the public. Unless a man is honest, we have no right to keep him in public life. It matters not how brilliant his capacity. The weakling and the coward cannot be saved by honesty alone. But without honesty, the brave and able man is merely a civic wild beast who should be hunted down by every lover of righteousness. No man who is corrupt, no man who condones corruption in others, can possibly do his duty by the community. Almost sounds biblical, doesn't it? Theodore Roosevelt also had this to say: the teachings of the Bible are so interwoven and intertwined with our whole civic and social life that it would be literally, I do not mean figuratively, I mean literally, impossible for us to figure to ourselves what life would be if these teachings were removed. We would lose almost all the standards by which we now judge both public and private morals. All the standards towards which we, with more or less resolution, strive to raise ourselves. How about that? You know, it wasn't just Theodore Roosevelt. Go back to George Washington. When the Constitution was written and adopted and accepted and voted upon, he said, this document was written for a moral people. And he held up a Bible. And he said, basically, if you take this away, meaning the Bible and its teachings, you might as well burn this document. Take a look around us today. Socrates said this: though the many can kill us, that is no reason for setting their opinions on a level with the opinions of the wise. Though they have a certain power over life and death, they have no power over truth. Amen to that. Who's the truth, the way, and the life? William McDougall in 1927. If I have a religion, its first precept is that we shall seek truth faithfully. And I would say this with Emerson: God offers to every mind its choice between truth and repose. Take which you please. You can never have both. Michael Foucault: truth is an outside power. Each society has its regime of truth, its general politics of truth, that is, the type of discourse which it accepts and makes function as truth. Terence Keeley, a lecturer in clinical biochemistry, University of Cambridge, recorded in The Spectator, August 1999. The public universities have entered into an unspoken contract with the state. They will promote statist ideologies in return for state money. There are few, desperately few institutes of higher education which follow truth ruthlessly. Terence Keeley again. Hillsdale College in Michigan is one of the few I know of that refuses any and all government handouts for just that reason. Benjamin Franklin has a couple good ones here. Those who would pound their swords into plowshares usually end up plowing for those who do not. I know a lot of the peaceniks out there talk about us being in that time when we're supposed to take our swords and make them into plowshares, basically saying give up your weapons and become farmers. But as Benjamin Franklin said, they just want you to do that so that you'll be plowing your fields for the people who did not turn in their weapons, being a slave. He also had this to say, those who will give up essential liberty to secure a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. Remember that quote, because that's exactly how your enemy is working it today. That's why we're going to talk about the beast. The beast is the one behind all of the hoopla that's going on today. And why is it? Because of exactly what Benjamin Franklin said right here. He wants you to give up essential liberty for the phantom of security. Security granted to you by the very people who are behind all, and I do mean all, of the false flag staged events that are going on around the world. Hear me well, people. Hear me well. They are all staged events. As we get into the discussion of the beast, you're going to find out you cannot trust anything coming over the airwaves or through cable that's connected to video, meaning what the naked eye can see. Everything associated with video news or video reporting is corruptible and probably has been if it's coming from any mainstream source. James Madison, in a speech before the Virginia Convention in 1788, I believe there are more instances of the abridgment of the freedom of the people by gradual and silent encroachment of those in power than by violent and sudden usurpations. Indeed, there are. It's called gradualism. Our Christ warned us about that. Thomas Paine said, tyranny is always better organized than freedom. Yep, it takes the Patriots a while to get their organization going, but once we do, look out. As Obadiah said, it will be as a flame and a fire when the sons of Israel take to the field. Thomas Paine also had this to say, the strength and power of despotism consists wholly in the fear of resistance. Will Rogers said this, if we ever pass out as a great nation, we ought to put on our tombstone, America died from a delusion that she had moral leadership. Don't ever be deceived. Our leaders are not moral. Not the leaders we have now, anyway. And H.L. Mencken, M-E-N-C-K-E-N, Mencken is how I pronounce it. The whole aim of practical politics is to keep the populace alarmed and thus clamorous to be led to safety by menacing it with an endless series of hobgoblins, all of them imaginary. He didn't say some of them, he said all of them. And indeed, he's right. Let me skip down here and read you one I haven't read in a while. Dr. Henry Heinz, the Jew communist Kaiser Kissinger, said this in Evian's France in 1991. Now, please remember, 1991 was the year prior to the start of all of the events that we are dealing with today. In 1992 is when rogue elements of this government murdered members of the Weaver family, and if they had gotten away with what they wanted to do, they would have burned them, the remainder of them, alive in their cabin in Idaho. Thanks to the weather and some brave men, Colonel Bo Greitz being one of them, their plans to burn them alive were foiled. They are murderers, people. Murderers. But anyway, Dr. Henry the Jew, Khazar Communist Kissinger, said this: "Today, America would be outraged if UN troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow, they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told that there was an outside threat from beyond, whether real or promulgated, that threatened our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead to deliver them from this evil. For one thing, every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by the world government." Isn't that so touching? They love us so much. They're willing to lie and stage events and hire actors and pay off the media whores to promote their lies just so we'll accept world government, because after all, it's for our benefit. They love us so. They have such great integrity and kindness and compassion for mankind. They can't wait for them to establish world government so y'all can just live so peacefully and keep what you've earned and, you know, keep your businesses and save your money. Live in peace and prosperity. Not. They have no intention of that. They've already said what they're going to do. Go read the Georgia Guidestones. Go read many of the articles written in the Council of Foreign Relations and the other secretive societies where these demagogues reside. They have no intention of letting anybody live in peace. Their intention is to destroy a large number of people who are walking this earth, because you are useless eaters. That's their term for you, useless eaters. You want to know why we call it the beast? Do you want to know why our ancestors, the prophets, and Christ himself referred to these people as beasts? Because governments act just like a wild beast. Take a look in nature. And I'm not talking about a zoo or any such thing as that, but go look in nature. What is the habit of the wild beast? Do they not want to survive? Will they not devour and tear apart literally anything that threatens their existence? They attack with no mercy. They have no conscience. They react almost by instinct, and so does a government beast. Its instinct is to survive. That's what they do everything for, their survival, to stay in power, to stay in control over you. They pray to their god, Lucifer, you never wake up, because you will arm yourselves and knock down their walls and drag them into the streets and hang them. They know that. If you ever figure out what they have been up to, they know there will be revolution within 24 hours. They know that they'll be drugged from their beds and out of their offices and hung from the nearest pole. They are murderers, misfits, thieves, liars, deceivers. They do the works of their father Satan because he was a murderer from the beginning. They are behind all of these draconian systems that are poisoning and polluting us on a daily basis. with the end result being, of course, that they will make money while they are killing us. Talk about diabolical geniuses. They figured out a way to murder us and make money while they're doing it, and you are paying them. You are paying the people out to murder you. Isn't that a twist? The scripture tells us that, especially in the book of Revelation, that the beast will have great anger at the end of the aeon in the Greek, or ion, depending on how you want to pronounce it. Aeon is simply a measure of time. It's not specific time. It is a cycle of time. At the end of this cycle, the beast will become very angry and try to destroy the sons and daughters of Jacob. They'll destroy other people as well, but the ones they're really after are our people. They know their time is short, and so they will have great wrath. You know, I'm getting reports from people all over the place who are astounded at the behavior of these cretins that walk amongst us. As we've said on this program many times, the wicked are becoming much more wicked, and the righteous, much more righteous. The schism between the children of darkness and the children of light is growing very, very wide. It reminds me of the parable of the wheat and the tares. Yahweh said, I will identify them, and I will bundle them up for the fire. That's a biblical way of saying he will provide a way for them to be made ready for judgment. Whether we bring that judgment forth or the angelic host, doesn't matter, does it? Me personally, I just want to see them gone. I don't particularly want to torture them. I don't particularly want to witness their destruction, not particularly. I just want them gone so that this world can become truly the paradise it was meant to be. These people are unbelievably wicked. And people are speaking out more and more about their wickedness. Now we're going to get back into talking about the beast a little bit more here. But we also are in the time of the remembrance or the memorial called Passover. Now it depends on whose calendar you follow as to the exact timing of it. And it would also depend on what part of the planet, or not the planet, but the Eretz, Earth, that you're on. So let's not get hung up on exact timing, would we, please? Because between you and me, if my salvation depended upon that, and the rest of my brothers and sisters, we'd all be pretty much toast. It'd be over. Because we haven't got our act together in that regard as long as I can remember. So I have to believe that Father is not all that concerned with the exact timing at this point in time. I don't believe that. So you pick a calendar. For me, the Luni Solar calendar, which is available free online, if you just Google it, you can find it. It puts us at the lunation year of, I believe it's 6003, which would coincide pretty close to when Adam showed up on this Eretz, this earth. And it put Passover as of yesterday. So yesterday would have been the time to prepare the lamb if you wish to go through that. Since the days of our Messiah being here, most Christians don't follow that because Christ himself said that he was the final sacrifice. There's no need to slaughter an animal. from the time of Messiah till now. However, some people do prefer to prepare a lamb and go through the meal of Passover, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's a remembrance. If that's how you wish to honor Yahweh and our ancestors, then certainly that's fine. But a lot of people also realize that Yahshua performed that. He said, the Passover did not go away. It's just that I am the perfect sacrifice. There is no better sacrifice. There is no more pure blood that could be spilt than that of Messiah himself. Now, the requirement to cover your doorposts and lintel with lamb's blood is also replaced with the blood of the lamb. However, I personally do like to anoint my doorposts and lintels with pure olive oil, representing the lamb's blood, as I ask a prayer over our dwellings, that Yahweh would watch over us. I do encourage that when people ask. I think that's a very good practice. It's certainly not going to do any harm, is it? Why not call upon Father Yahweh and ask a blessing upon your home? Ask for the protection, just as he gave our ancient ancestors, the Israelites, not the Jews. For God's sakes, don't fall into that trap. The Bible isn't talking about Jews. Jews have nothing to do with Scripture. That's the ruse. That's the big lie. That's the Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, imposter trying to get you to believe they are the people of the Bible. And no, they are not. So ask for that, just as our Hebrew ancestors in Egypt asked for that blessing, and Yahweh sent forth the death angel, and the death angel passed over. That's where we get the term Passover. Passed over the homes with the blood of the lamb, the death angel. You might say that's happening on a daily basis today, isn't it? The death angel is out there in the form of Satan and his kids trying to kill our people on a daily basis. Are you covered by the blood of the lamb, people? You know, we don't talk about that much, since the Judeo-Christians, that's all they talk about. But sometimes in identity teachings, we don't talk enough about the saving grace of our Father, Yahweh, who in the form of Yahshua HaMashiach paid the price that we should pay. We are the ones who commit sin. We are the ones who commit sin by violating his law. And people say, well, wait a minute, I don't violate his law. Yes, you do. In fact, as a society, there's very few laws that Yahweh gave us that we are not violating at this time. For instance, the United States of America and virtually every white nation is being flooded with aliens because the governments, the beasts in charge, have opened the floodgates and allowing violence to be put upon their people. That's a violation of the contract. Why does the beast open up the floodgates to let aliens flood in amongst us? Because the beast people are aliens. And yet Leviticus and Deuteronomy make it crystal clear that we Israelites were never to put an alien in a position of political power over us. Never. And you take a look in Washington, D.C. today, it's overrun with aliens. A lot of our state capitals overrun with aliens. South Carolina comes to mind right away. So does Louisiana. Aliens. Not tied to our culture, not tied to our beliefs, and certainly not tied to our Messiah. I don't care what they say. I mean, Bill Clinton carried a big old Bible, didn't he? Is there anybody out there going to try to tell me that that man is a Christian? That he believes in Yahshua HaMashiach? No, don't even try. That's a laughing stock. That's a joke. He's a joke. That thing that walks around with him is a joke. And the American people are a joke for allowing this to continue. I would highly suggest, people, since this is Passover, and today is the first day of the 7 days of unleavened bread. Now, what's the purpose of the unleavened bread following the day of Passover, which was yesterday? Because we had to leave Egypt in haste, there was no time to allow dough to rise, and they had not made preparation. So bread was the only thing that could be made in haste, and it had to be made without yeast. But there's also a symbology associated with that. They were to leave the yeast of the Egyptians behind. They were to leave the gradualism, the yeast-type habits of the Egyptians behind them. Just as the yeast represents the things that weaken us, from the peoples around us, we are to leave that out of our homes for the today and the next 6 days. It's a symbology, folks. It's to make you understand why yeast is not good for the human body, especially not a whole lot of it. And most of the food that has the yeast in it is processed food. And how many times have we talked about health on these programs? Processed food is killing you. I don't know how much more plain to say it. So during those 7 days, you're to be reminded of what your ancestors went through, but also how it affects you today. Do not allow the yeast of these manufacturers and these corporate farms to get into your food supply. Do not let the yeast of this Babylonian beast system enter into your soul through your eyes and ears. What did Christ say? Oh, that's right. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is their hypocrisy. There are no greater hypocrites on this earth than the Jews, pretending to be one thing and being something completely different. That's where we get the word hypocrite. It's the Greek word Hippocrates. And that was their name for an actor on the stage. Why is that? Because the man on the stage is pretending to be something he is not in reality. The Jew in Congress pretends to be an American and do things for the American people when in fact he's a dual citizenship Israeli. And he will do first and foremost for the Jews and the Jewish nation state, that bastard nation called It's a Lie in Palestine. That's where his loyalty lies. He's a hypocrite, an actor. We were to beware the leaven as it creeps in and leaveneth the whole lump. You let in a little leaven, you let in a few Jews, and pretty soon it leavens the whole lump. You let a few Jews into Congress, and look what has happened. You let a Jew onto the Supreme Court, and now they are, what? Oh, yeah, that's right. They're the majority, even though tiny in number, just like leaven. Was Christ brilliant? Of course he was. He was the Father. By comparing what they do to us and how they work and eke their way throughout our society, just like leaven does through a lump of dough. Of course, a lot of you kids out there don't even know what I'm talking about. You've probably never made bread. You probably never watched your mother make bread like I did in that big old porcelain pot where she kneaded the dough and then put in the yeast. And hours later, you'd come back and that dough had risen clear up over the top and was starting to run down the sides of that big old pot. A little bit of leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That's where that saying came from. You let a little leaven into your lives. You let a little leaven into your body. And pretty soon it pervades and invades your entire society, your entire body. Christ warned us, beware the leaven of the Jew Pharisee. And we ignored it. Now our society reeks of the perversions that come with Judaism. Do you think it's an accident? Virtually every porn magazine is edited and owned by Jews? Do you find it an accident that worldwide the trafficking of white sex slaves, young boys and girls, is headed up by Jews? That the drug industry, both legal and illegal, is headed up by Jews? You think that's all by accident? That these companies like Monsanto that dream up these absolutely demonic concepts like Terminator seeds, high fructose corn syrup, red, yellow, number 5, blue, number 6, all these additives, dyes, chemicals, refined sugars, refined salt, refined flour. They come up with all of these things. And they're protected by their fellow Jews in government and their fellow Jews in things like the FDA. Satan's kids. You let them in. You let them in. And you let them in because you've got a preacher. That prostitute down there behind the pulpit. The one that gets up and pretends. Remember? Hypocrite. Hippocrates. Actor. Pretends to be a person knowledgeable of Yahweh and preaching to you Yahweh's will on this earth when nothing could be further from the truth. But you sheep, you listen to him. He's part of the beast system, but you listen to him and you give him your attention. You give him your loyalty. You're giving the beast what belongs to Yahweh. You see, the beast doesn't want you to ever figure out we don't need them. We don't need their permission to protect our property, our liberty, and our lives. We don't need their permission. We don't need their permission to come up with either a state or local form of currency. Very similar to Ithaca, New York, and the many other communities have been doing it for decades now. Decades, and very successfully. I do know it wasn't all that long ago. There were approximately 17 or 18 states of this union looking into it. State legislatures looking into a form of script at the state level. They know what's coming. Remember in Revelation when it talks about Yahweh bringing the beast to its knees. Who is doing the weeping and wailing, people? The merchants. Not you, not me. The merchants are bemoaning, watching Babylon burn. I'm going to be sitting on a hilltop with a glass of champagne, toasting it, burning away. So you folks that think you need Babylon, you think you need your 401ks and your retirements and your Social Security and all these other things, like life will just come to an end if the beast government doesn't give it to you. Well, you go right on thinking like that. They love it that you think that way. I know I'm not going to miss them. Everything we need to survive, and to survive comfortably, really, is given to us freely by Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. We're not beholden to a beast government. It's the job of the government to convince you that you have to have them, to convince you that you must obey them, even though the founding fathers here in the United States of America made it crystal clear that a government is simply formed by the governed, meaning we've given people. This beast is made up of individuals, people who are supposed to be responsible. who are supposed to obey the Constitution, which is the contract. And yet they don't. But they have convinced you that they have a right to do that. They have a right to obey the contract and yet still be in office. No, they don't. That's ridiculous. They have a right to send our boys and girls, our flesh and blood, into foreign wars to subdue enemies of their Jewish masters. No, they don't. Let the Jews fight their own damn wars. They're the ones making the trillions of dollars in profit. Let them go fight their own damn wars. If that nation over there is truly the Israel of the Bible, then it's protected by Yahweh. Let them fight their own damn wars. Let's see how brave and how good of soldiers they really are. Fight them. You shouldn't need us. Why is it you have your fellow tribesmen constantly through AIPAC and all of these other Jewish organizations pressuring, bribing, blackmailing our congressmen into supporting your bastard little nation if you're God's people? No, you know you're not God's people. You have to have us on your back. You have to have us supporting you and defending you. Your little liars, your cheats, your thieves, your murderers. And you know damn well that if the United States pulls its support, the rest of the world is coming after you. You've created so much mayhem on this earth. You've murdered so many innocent people, and you've drug us into your blasphemy against the living God and into your murder because you've controlled certain elements of Congress and the military. Yeah, people of weak character, base personalities, cowards, misfits who worship money more than they do integrity, honesty. And they allow these little Jewish bastards to do that to us. Shame, and I do mean shame, on every one of you co-conspirators. How many boys and girls have bled the ground red because of your treason? How many of our boys and girls now walk away around on this planet without arms or legs? Or other debilitating injuries because of your Jewish wars. Just so you could make more money. Just so you could retire with all that money they promise you. Just so you could sit out on your yacht while they're going around town in wheelchairs asking for charity because you don't even support them after you maim them. You are despicable. People. You know, I've had people say, you know, Dan, you got to be careful because they're listening in. I hope the hell they are. I really do. Because they need to hear this. They need to know the condemnation that's on its way. You can ignore the truth, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring the truth. You people who work for the beast, you ignore the truth because it suits you. You're being paid very well to keep your mouth shut and to go with the flow. There is a day of reckoning coming. The people of this world have been in tribulation for quite some time. It's not a tribulation down the road like some of these Judeo-Christian evangelists, these prostitutes who also do what they do for a fistful of money, blood money, teaching that it's somewhere out there yet to come. The people of this world have suffered under this tyranny for quite some time. The body count is well over the hundreds of millions of innocent souls. And you think it's yet to come? No, 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 no. The scripture is very clear when it says that all those things that were hidden will be made known. You antichrist bastards, can you feel it? Your schemes are being revealed at an alarming rate. It's going viral. You have lied to we the people about virtually every major subject you can think of. And I'm talking about everything, people. If you're smart, you're going to trash what the organized religion, the organized educational institutions, the organized government, the organized medical mafia. You're going to trash everything they have told you because you're going to find out it's a great big fat lie. And at this point in time, if what you're being presented as some kind of, quote, evidence, if it involves video, imagery, whether it's a movie, television, YouTube, or whatever, if it's coming from the mainstream, it's a lie. It is a lie. We read that verse that says, "Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth, in the protected area called earth, where I put my sons and daughters." You're being tested. So far, we're not doing too good on this test, people. We've allowed the enemy to rise up quite high. Yahweh knew we would. We're weak. We fall for the lies and the deceptions. He knew that's the way we would be, but he also knew that there would be a remnant. His remnant, who have the power of the Holy Spirit within them, that will testify to what is right and what is wrong. The Holy Spirit will tell you. It's unfortunate so many of our people fill their lives with so much electronic garbage, it interferes with those radio frequencies. And though they're not actual RF, but they work much like RF, which stands for radio frequencies. As we talked about in the last program, the pineal gland has rods and cones very close to the same design as the rods and cones in the eye that allows you to pick up the frequency of light and form images. That's how you see. Can you imagine how it would be if the rods and cones were not healthy and they disintegrated? You'd be in the dark, wouldn't you? Your pineal gland works the same way. It picks up the frequencies of the Holy Spirit. It's also a very small gland, and yet it is a very powerful gland. It is called the third eye. It's also a gland that is very susceptible to pollution. So when you put the things into your body that the Antichrist beast gives you, you're clogging up more than just your arteries. You're clogging up the antenna, the third eye, that allows you to see through the deception. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? This pineal gland and the rods and cones are what the scripture's talking about when he said, go into that quiet place, that closet. That's symbolic of just getting away from the noise, getting away from the rat race, we call it. Get into that quiet place and talk to Father. And allow the Holy Spirit to educate you and guide you and comfort you. I'm getting calls and calls and mail talking about the angst that's amongst our people because the enemy is putting out a constant flow of this. We just read the quotes that talk about that is the plan of the New World Order. That is the plan of the Antichrist Jews. So that you'll buy their solution to the problem. Which, of course, will give them even more power and control over you. Fear not is what the Holy Spirit says to me. Fear not should be what it's telling you. I don't fear them. I fear the one who can do harm to me after the first death. We can't do anything about the first death, people. It's coming for you whether you like it or not. As Laura says on her program, hey, folks, none of us are getting out of this thing alive. From the moment you were born, that's your destiny. Get used to it. Stop letting the beast use it as a tool to manipulate you. They want you to be cowering in fear that the beast will knock your door down and come in and demand your weapons and your lives. Well, they did that to people in the past. That's true. As I said, many of our people in different areas of this world have been in misery and subjugation to the beast. They have done such terrible things as that. But Yahweh is raising up an army. Yahweh said that there would be a time that Esau Edom, meaning the Jews, would rise up above his people Jacob. They would have dominion, and they would be allowed to do these things. Why did Yahweh allow that? That's the first question all these people ask me. He's a loving God, but he allowed it. Well, did he allow that, or did we allow that? Yahweh gave us discernment. He created these bodies with a third eye. So it's his fault that we're greedy bastards that will sell our souls for a few shekels of blood money from a Jew? Is that his fault? Is it his fault that we fill our lives full of entertainment? We never take a pause to concentrate on his law, his desires for our life? So he's at fault for that too? Or the fact that you spend your time at the beer hall or at the sports arena instead of in study to figure out what's wrong? He's responsible for that too, I suppose, right? You made the choice. You chose ignorance. You chose subservience to the Antichrist because it was easier. And besides, the Antichrist likes to dress up his enslavement. He leaves you just enough crumbs that you can afford the strip joint or the beer and the booze and the marijuana and the other drugs and the entertainments down at the shore or going to the theater and watching this Hollywood garbage called movies. So you think your captivity is actually good. You're in the matrix. You're trapped in the matrix, son or daughter. You just don't know it yet. You're thinking it's a grand old time, but the whole time Satan's kids are back there laughing at the synagogue at your stupidity. The fact that Yahweh left this entire earth for his sons and daughters to administer so that everybody here could truly have peace and prosperity. You bought the lie. You drank the Kool-Aid. You fell for it. That's not Father's fault. It's not Father's fault that he knows our dispositions, that he knows our weaknesses and what we're going to decide to do. He didn't create that. We did. And he also provides for a way out of all of this if we have the courage and the faith to take it. He didn't leave us here abandoned to this. These people play mind games on us. Folks, if they had all of this technology and power at their disposal where they could do away with us as easily as they want you to think, it would have been done already. It's a mind game. Yahweh was very, very specific. He said, come out of her, my people, that you do not partake of her plagues. Come out of her, meaning Babylon, the great whore, who does everything for money. People say Jews are very pious. They're the people of the Bible. Really? They don't follow the Bible. They follow the Talmud, which is a filthy, disgusting book that allows them to do the heinous things they do to us. It says they'll actually be rewarded for it. They're not the people of the Bible. That's a show. That's a lie. It's been put upon you, and you've accepted it. You've had them basically pull the wool over your eyes. You could have figured it out. Scripture tells us the Spirit testifies to the truth. The Spirit testifies to the truth. But you got to listen to that small inner voice of Yahweh's Spirit trying to talk to you. But most of you are so busy talking yourselves, so busy chasing after your entertainments, that you don't hear a thing. It's much like the other hosts on EFR radio sending out the signals of warning to our brothers and sisters, but you're so busy you don't have time to listen in. You've got other more important things to do. You've got a tennis appointment. You've got a pro going to teach you how to play better tennis. You've got a bridge game to go to. You've got some alcohol that needs to be drunk. The list goes on and on and on. And again, I'm not a prude. I like to have a good time as much as anybody else, but damn it, the chores come first. That's the way I was raised on the farm. You can have your fun, son, but the chores come first. I'm going to tell you something. If Dad came home from work and I was out there having a good time with my buddies and my chores weren't done, it wasn't very long before I felt his wrath upon my person. So much so that I soon learned that as much fun as it is to hang around with my buddies and to go down by the creek or take our bicycles on a long trip up through the mountains, yeah, that might be fun, but dealing with Dad later wasn't so much fun. So I think I'll get my chores done first. Didn't take me very long to learn that lesson. Just as our sojourn here on this earth. How long is it going to take you to learn that lesson? The chores come first, people. You weren't put here to just be in one 24-hour-a-day party. The beast wants you to think that. The beast will promise you anything you want to hear. The whole time he's scheming for your demise. But if you're willing to listen to him, it's no skin off his big old hook nose. Of course, now with plastic surgery, I guess they don't all have big old hook noses, do they? Your first instinct is to be afraid right now. And the beast wants that. He wants us to be in fear so that we turn off our logic, turn off our brains, turn off our ability to critically think and to investigate. Yahweh said, if you want your life, you have to be willing to give it up. What did he mean when he said that? Do you think he wants us all to go outside and cut our wrists and commit Harry Carey? No, that's not what he meant. He meant, if you want your life, you've got to lose the fear of losing your life, which is what the beast wants. He wants you to be afraid of the Muslims. He wants you to be afraid of the refugees. He wants you to be afraid of the collapsing economy, even though he's responsible for it. He wants you to be afraid of the massive immigration coming across the border, and yet the same beast that wants you to be afraid could stop it tomorrow. Should tell you something that they don't. The beast has made it profitable for corporations to move offshore out of the United States so that our unemployment continues to climb, and yet you're asking the same beast to solve the problem. That's a sign of mental weakness. It's a form of insanity. You know, the beast wants our military vets all to be labeled as mentally ill so that they can be disarmed. Well, the mental illness is in the general population. The mental illness is in those people who call themselves liberals, socialists, communists, Jew lovers. There's your mentally ill. You know, it's not by accident that the Jews are the inventors of psychiatry and psychology. Sigmund Freud, yep, damn Jew. And the rest of them. It's not by accident that most of your psychologists and psychiatrists are Jews. Most of them. Making money, getting you to believe that somehow they know the workings of the human mind, and somehow they can help you with your problems instead of turning to your Father Yahweh. Yeah, pretty good scam, isn't it? When they first came to this country, what were the first two things they went after? Control of the money and control of the media. Should tell you something. Should tell you something. They also, many years ago, decided that the Christian monarchies needed to be destroyed because they got in the way of their plans. Christian monarchies. You know, I hear a lot of people saying that, you know, monarchies are bad things. We got such a better thing here with this republicanism and this constitution. How's that worked out for you, England? How's that worked out for you, United States? And all you other countries with your parliaments and your forms of government similar to the Congress that we have here. How's that working out for you, white folks? You know, you want to demean the monarchies. All because throughout history, a few people got into power that weren't very good people. Of course, we don't ever talk about the fact that they were deposed either through assassination or election. We don't ever talk about the fact that Ireland had a succession of kings that ran for many, many centuries very successfully. We don't talk about the Parthian Empire and Scythian Empire and all the other Israelite empires when they had their monarchs and they were very successful because their monarchs were elected. You see, the beast wants you to think that every monarchy is just a tyrant, a dictator who proclaims himself to be the ruler. And he'll rule as long as he wants. Well, that's what the beast wants you to think. So that you'll never investigate the way a biblical monarchy works. A biblical monarch is elected by the people through their elders. And those same elders don't go away after the election. Their job is to monitor the monarch so that if he veers off the path, the alarm is raised and he is deposed as monarch and, if necessary, put on trial if he committed crimes. But at the very least, he is deposed and a proper monarch is then elected to take his place. It's a beautiful system. But you'd have to study to know that. If you're going to let these damnable, demonic, Christ-hating Jews tell you what real history is all about, then you'll never, ever come out of this quagmire. You got to start thinking for yourself. You have to study yourself. You have to look at the history of our people and when we did things right versus when we did things wrong. You don't need an outsider to tell you these things. You sure as hell don't need those who have no connection to your people, your culture, and your heritage telling you anything. And you sure as hell don't need a preacher who comes out of a seminary telling you anything. You don't need any church associated with the 501c3 IRS certification telling you anything. They've already been bought and paid for. Whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Now, Scripture tells us over and over and over that we're not to trust the arm of the flesh or in princes or kings. We're to look to the King of Kings, our Heavenly Father Yahweh. Tells us that over and over and over. And yet, look at the frenzy being created by Donald Trump. And the only reason is because he's being bold enough to say what everybody knows already. He's either doing that as part of a ruse because he's one of them and they want you to get behind him, knowing full well that he'll be another Obama. Once he gets in office, he'll do their bidding. And all that rhetoric will be for naught. But shame on us to be looking to the arm of flesh, promising to fix our problems when our Father in heaven gave us the ability to fix our problems without anybody else's help. We don't need these ultra-rich oligarchs, and that's all the two parties in this country put in front of your face are members of the oligarchy. Hand-picked stooges to make sure that the apple cart is not turned over, to make sure the status quo remains, and you buy it year after year after year. That's a form of insanity, doing the same thing over and over, but expecting a different result. You should know by now, the oligarchs aren't going to allow a change. The change starts down here at the grassroots level. The change starts when you repent. Are you familiar with that term? Repent means to change the way you think. When you learn to do that, you're going to find the Father is going to open a lot of doors. And the good news is, I'm hearing from a lot of the faithful that they are fed up and sick and tired of this beast system. That's a start. That's how it starts, with the fire that burns within your bosom, the fire of the Holy Spirit ignited within you to where your righteous indignation is on fire. The same as it was in the Christ's persona when he whipped those Jew money changers out of the temple. So why don't we whip the Jew money changers out of our temples today? Why are you buying any product produced in Israel? Why are you buying any product produced by a Jew-run company? Why are you going to Jew banks for your loans? You say you have no alternative? Really? Well, it starts with the spark, people. It starts when Yahweh sees within his people that they're willing to think outside the box. Because up till now, you haven't even considered that Yahweh's plan is far different than what these New World Order monsters have presented to you. You haven't been open to anything. Your stiff-necked stubbornness, well, things are getting pretty bad. Just as Pastor Eli and many others and I have predicted for so long, these sheep aren't going to wake up until Yahweh makes it so painful you have no other choice. Well, it's getting pretty painful. How many more innocent people need to die? How many more innocent babies need to be butchered out of their mother's bellies before you people wake the hell up and repent and cry out to the Father to open the doors for another way, a simpler, more perfect, and more honest way? Stop believing the Jew lies. Stop supporting Jew candidates. Stop supporting Jew movies and Jewish television. You want to get to know what's really going on? Try for one evening, just one evening, shutting off all of these New World Order devices. And go into your home in peace and in quiet. And challenge the Father to talk to you. And see what happens. I've been blessed on many, many nights when I just simply go into my home and turn off everything and enjoy that peace and quiet. Or if I have a neighbor over or a member of the family, sit out on the patio and just have a conversation with no racket, no noise, no New World Order trying to breathe into your ear the latest catastrophe that they orchestrated, that they created. And I'm going to tell you something, Brussels is no different than any of the other events. If you haven't figured this tune out by now, you probably never will. Every one of these events have the exact same MO every single time. Tune them out. I get a laugh every time I see this stage production being presented as fact. And after a while, once your brain starts functioning again, you'll be able to see their lies and deceptions as well. You'll catch them when they make the mistakes. Just like when Obama referred to himself and Michael. Oops. That was supposed to be Michelle, wasn't it? Ooh. But somebody who had their brain turned on caught it and captured it. When you lose that admiration for Satan's kids and you become a warrior, and when you become an investigator, then things really start to happen. You see, we working as a team can undo this beast. We shall undo this beast. If you want to study more about the Passover, just go to Exodus chapter 12. It talks about it there. But I want you to, during this week of unleavened bread, if you're not going to do the unleavening part, at least mentally for the next week, would you do that much, please? Remove the leaven of what the Pharisees are doing to us from your person and from your home. As much as possible. Instead of worrying about the leaven in your bread, you might worry about the leaven coming across your TV set or your PDA or your iPad or your iPod. All the different avenues that Satan's kids have figured out how to get into your sacred home, your sacred temple of your body with their poison. Maybe in this day and age, it would be better to do that than it would to be worried about the leaven on your shelf or the leaven in your bread as it was in the days of our ancestors. Right now, we got leaven in so many places, it's a wonder we're still in existence. The poisons are everywhere. But the good news, people, is that even in this darkness, when the wicked have risen up so high, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is the truth, the way, and the life in Christ Jesus, Yahshua HaMashiach, our Savior. Our Father from heaven came down and put on flesh to pay the price, to live as an example, since we're so blind and so foolish that we often can't figure it out for ourselves. That's the kind of love he has for us. How much love do we have back for him? You know, we've often said that life is Yahweh's gift to us. What we do with this life is our gift back to our Father. But it's not only a gift that we give to our Father. It is the gift we give to those we love around us. You know, I think it's a scripture that says there's no greater love than that of a friend who would give his life for another. Whether it's sacrificing the actual life or sacrificing some hours out of your busy schedule, it's still a sacrifice. Out of love for the truth, out of love for our people, out of love for our ancestors. Do you care about the truth, people? Do you really? Or is it just part of the game? You say the words, you say, I know that, you know, this is the right thing, but then you just let it go. We have a lot to answer for. We really do. And again, I'm not here to say it's not nice to have a good time, but, you know, like my daddy told me a long time ago, you better make sure the chores are done. And we've been abandoning the chores that Father Yahweh put here for us to do for quite a long time. It's time to turn off the entertainments and the diversions. Put the nose to the grindstone. And let's work together and figure this thing out. Let's work together and become a solution to the problem and not a perpetuation of the problem. Father told us in Scripture, when we saw all these things happening, to look up. Look up. And know that your redemption is near. Hallelujah. My redemption, your redemption is not far away. And for those of you who have decided to do the beast's bidding, your days of reckoning aren't far away either. I can only tell you that you should repent while you still can. Just as it was in the days of Noah, Yahweh is going to seal the door on the ark in the very near future. And from that point on, there is no turning back. You have made your bed and you will lie in it. You've made your decision to do the work of the Antichrist. You will pay the price for that decision. And that's not with hate. That's with concern that I want no person to have to suffer through that. But I'm also a realist. And I know there's wicked people out there that really don't even think about those things. All they care about is their money and the things money buys. They're hedonists. And they won't be around much longer. I wish everybody would repent, but unfortunately they're not going to. But for those of you with a conscience, you have time. Pray on it. See what Father tells you. See what doors he opens for you. He doesn't want you to be trapped working for those bastards. Pray. Pray hard. And seek out like-minded brothers and sisters. You might be surprised what Father will do for you. We're out of time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and to share your words. We're not perfect, Father, not by a long shot. But we who love you and love the truth and love our fellow man, so much so that we're sickened by the death and disease and the usurpations that are going on around this world. We're praying for your coming, Father, to establish the kingdom. But in the meantime, Father, raise us up to be the men and women that you want us to be. Let us be living Bibles for the people around us so they'll see a difference in us and know that there is a better way through you. Again, Father, forgive us our shortcomings. Watch over us and protect us from our enemies. Give us clear discernment, Father Yahweh, in these tumultuous times with so much lying and deceiving going on. Come quickly, Father Yahweh. We ask this in the precious name of our Heavenly Father Yahweh. Hallelujah.